Hello, my fans, friends. Welcome to the Rich Herring podcast feed, powered by Acast Plus. Thanks to everyone who's come to see the Can I Have My Ball Back tour so far. It's been going really well. I've got a 4-star review in The Standard, 4-star review in The Telegraph, who once called me the worst comedy experience of the year, so that's a turnaround. People have been coming, people have really been enjoying it, and it's getting better and better. The only gigs this week are both in Pocklington, the town I was born in, near York. There's a couple of tickets left for the evening show and a few more tickets left for the matinee, I think about 4:30. But love to see you there, Yorkshire. Pop along. Check richardherring.com/ballback/tour or richardherring.com/gigs to see if I'm coming near to you. There are tickets left for nearly every show in the tour. I think Norwich has sold out. And a couple of gigs in London could do with your support as well. Anyway, please listen to the podcast. Do spread the news about the podcast to your friends. Listen as much as you can. Numbers are slightly down, which may affect the future of this podcast. So just leave it playing, even if you're not in the room. Love you. Now sit back, relax, and enjoy whatever it is you're going to listen to.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.
Yo, yo, it's me, Richard Herring. I'm back from America. How you doing? Welcome to another Richard Herring's Leicester Square Theatre podcast with me, Richard Herring, and my guest this week is Sophie Hagen. There's some good stuff in this and loads of stuff we had to beep out. That'll be funny. It's always worth coming to see these shows so you can catch the stuff that is unbroadcastable. And we're starting again on the 3rd of October for 9 weeks. Do come along, go to the Leicester Square Theatre website and you can book tickets there. Also, we're doing As It Occurs to Me again very soon. The first episode is being recorded on the 11th of September, 9/11. No, 11/9. That's what it's like. Yeah, let's, you don't have to worry, it's not sick because it's literally the 11th of the 9th. There's still lots of tickets left. It would be terrific if you would come along and support that and the subsequent shows, which are monthly until February. Go to leicestersquaretheatre.com, I think, and you can find tickets for that. But anyway, don't worry about that. Let's sit back and enjoy Richard Herring's Leicester Square Theatre podcast with the wonderful Sophie Hagen.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Leicester Square Theatre, where there has been an emergency! Please welcome a man who will carry on the show, whatever comatose state you manage to get yourself into. It's Richard Herring! Oh yeah, hello! Hello, welcome to Richard Herring's Leicester Square Theatre podcast. Or as I was on the Hacky Sack World Champions, the old guys. Amazing they are. They can kick a little thing and come on. They call it rehearsal amongst their communities. Oh, I don't know if that's catching on. Last week's show, the audience were so excited they've stayed for another week because it was so unbeknownst to me and my guest, Graham Lennon. There was an emergency in the auditorium. Someone collapsed. You may have... there was a guy who was slow clapping quite a lot of things, like he was a supervillain. I was a bit suspicious when he slow clapped the bit about Graham's wife having an abortion. It's like... so I thought, that's a bit odd, I'll ignore it, he's clearly crazy. We've had some drunk people in before, actually, so I thought he was probably drunk, he was trying to chip in a bit, but apparently he sort of collapsed, he's dead. He died, but me and Sophie were talking backstage, and we decided to carry on as a tribute. We're going to put a picture of him up now. You know, I'll hold this and then superimpose his dead face onto. He's fine. He was just drunk. He thought he was coming to see the premiere with that woman from Ex Machina in it, apparently. Not that I'm obsessed with robots, so it's. It was a bit of excitement, wasn't it? Were you excited, audience? Ooh, yeah, we love it when people collapse, Rich. That's why we come. There's the audience. They did nothing. When that bloke needed a neighbour, were they there? No, we weren't there, Rich. Was anyone scared? There's a man holding his, or someone holding his hand. Did you help? Or are you the guy? Is he back in? You saved him. What did you do to save him? Kiss of life? You put him on his side. Did he touch his willy while you were doing it? You might as well. Comatose, right? If they can't get you, can't remember it. Yeah? Yeah, you're right. That was inappropriate. Well, thank you for putting him on his side. Apparently that's what killed him, though. The all of his sex. It's everything. So you are a murderer, as well as a sex pest. And I've got you on. Someone told me you did touch his willy. That's why I mentioned it. Might as well, eh, Andy, eh? Give it a little one, might as well. Free, innit? It's a free one. So let's crack on. No, I'm not advocating that at all. So will you please welcome a woman. She's probably best known for her appearance on Afton Show It. That is why we are... That's why most of us are here to see that. She was also in, not a proper rehearsal, but the one we did in Sligo, which I can't remember the proper name of, which you probably didn't listen to, which is lucky because we're going to talk about all the same things again. Will you please welcome Sophie Hagen, ladies and gentlemen? Here she is. Come in, sit down.
Hello.
You're in the proper... This is the proper one.
The big room.
It is. I think at the end of the last podcast, I said you might get onto this in 10 years' time. And here you are now. You've fast-tracked in.
Was it also because Abandonment cancelled?
they were meant to be there. No, I chose you above Abandonment in Sligo. That was my two choices in Sligo.
No, because they'd gone home.
They'd gone home because I'd slighted them. What is Afton Show It, which you were in?
What are you saying?
Afton Show It.
Oh, that's just a talk show, like an evening like this, but
was it,
you know,
as good as this?
Televised.
The feeling, I tried to film the audience, and I think I forgot to press record. It does show. Look at that. Yeah, we can use that. Then I get the cameraman fee for that. So that is. Who's the host of Afton Show It?
Oh, just like regular presenters.
No,
you don't
even know.
Evening. I don't know.
It's about the only thing you've ever done on IMDb. And you're going around like, oh, I don't know is what it was.
Do I have an.
You're on everything. You're on Dirty Britcom Confessionals.
Oh, wait, what?
We talked about that last time. It's not a very good one.
There's no more. No more has happened.
There's no extra ones, I'm afraid. No. So what I wanted mainly to talk to you about... You're from Denmark, right?
Yes.
It's in the north of Europe, still in the EU. And why do the Danish people have all those extra bits of punctuation and stuff and all the...
What?
Why have they got all the weird... Why have you got all those weird... Like, you put a cross through an O and there's, like, little bubbles...
Oh, letters.
On bubbles. Why have you got all those extra bits?
No one told me about the extra punctuation.
Well, it's like, you know, they've got the normal letters, and then you've got O's with a line through
extra.
Them. And like a little, it's like a bubble's coming off the top of an A or something.
Yeah.
Like it's going to float off.
Is that your impersonation?
That's my impersonation of your Danish, your stupid Danish alphabet. Why have you got that?
It's... How else?
It's arrogant, is what I'm saying. The French are arrogant. They've got a few accents like that. You go, showing off. There's no need for that. And a circumflex, that's showing off. But you've got loads of stuff in
Danish. Would you do this if you had like a Russian community?
Yeah, I would.
Okay. Just making sure.
It wouldn't be as funny though, because Russia's a proper country. So it's. So they deserve to have their own art. They've created their whole own alphabet. That's all right. Cyrillic is a new alphabet. You've taken our alphabet, the English alphabet, it was invented in England by Ian Alphabet. And then you've added, you go, oh, it's not good enough for us in Denmark.
I wish I knew more.
Yeah, well, I thought you would, because like I read an article about yours and it was all in funny letters and stuff. So I thought, well, she must know what they are.
It's not like you would have understood it if it hadn't been there.
It would, because we established last time, basically all Danish is just saying English words in a slightly weird way. Like, coo, that's cow.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and...
I never listened to the last one.
No, I just listened to it today, so I'm right back on top of the Danish. I'm mainly just going to ask you how you say things in Danish.
Okay,
how do you say fuck in Danish?
Fuck. We use it as well.
Okay.
So which meaning of the word fuck would you like to...
I would like it to mean, like, you're a fucking idiot.
Well, we'd say fucking.
Fucking. That's not. Would you put an unusual bit of, like, a square coming off the C or something?
We'd pronounce it with the A with the O.
Oh, do you?
Over.
The fucking. A with the O.
Fucking.
Okay. Why do you need so many vowels? What's that? Why? What's... People think I'm being racist, but this is the new Britain. So this is. You come over here. I think you're going to start imposing those strange vowels on us, make us put them into our language.
This might be a very good test for the test I will eventually have to take in order to get to stay.
Okay, I thought you'd know more. I thought you'd be able to tell us more about the...
I like those. I like the letters.
Yeah, what are they? What's it called, the one with the bubble coming off? What's that? You don't even know what it is.
You said the one with the bubble coming off. I was like, which one is that? Because we just call them...
Okay.
So A is the weird A with like kind of like a double A, and that's A.
Or A, that's the same as what we would call it.
What?
A.
A. Are you saying A?
A. That's an A, you that's what A is, A.
A.
And A is just an I, isn't it? A or an E? Yeah.
No, it's A. You're not saying the sound. A.
Just stop being so pretentious. Just use that. There's five good vowels and a Y as well, if you're feeling fancy. Rhythm, put a Y in it. Why not?
I like
couple him. I didn't know where you were born. I was hoping you were born in Copenhagen, so we could talk about Copenhagen, but you've lived in Copenhagen.
Yeah. Grew up in Copenhagen.
Wonderful, wonderful Copenhagen.
Yes.
Beautiful girl of a town. I went there. It's not that good. It's nice, right? It's nice. I'm not being racist. It's nice. It's a nice town, but it's not... You might go, it's wonderful. But like going wonderful, wonderful, it's like sarcastic, isn't it? It's like when you get there, there was a black canal in there, is there?
The what?
There's a canal was a bit black. There's a mermaid in it.
Oh... Yeah, I know the mermaid.
Yeah.
I haven't looked.
It just wasn't that good, and it's not good.
No, that's shit, because it's tiny, and this is, who cares?
So I think you should get on to the writers of that song, because I went expecting it to be wonderful, wonderful. It was just okay. Did you ever go to the Pantomime Museum in Copenhagen when you were there?
No, but I went to the Leprechaun Museum in Dublin.
Did you? How was it? Because I couldn't get...
It was brilliant.
What?
Yeah. I was like, I'm going to be really bored. But then the storyteller, she's a comedian as well, Theresa Coyne, in Dublin. And she was so brilliant. And she was telling all these stories. And we tried to make her tell the really dark... Because it's like... It's dark. Like, the reason why they had these little leprechaun thingies, which is the official way of describing them. There's some really dark stories about, like, mothers suffocating their babies to, you know, really fun.
So they kind of get off the leprechauns quite quickly, just into child murder. It's like, there's a leprechaun. But anyway, here's what we really want to tell you about.
It'd be like, if a mother would, like, or a father.
Yeah, thank you.
If a person would like do something horrible, they'd go, "Oh, it's the leprechauns. It's because of the leprechauns." You go, "Oh, this got really interesting really quickly."
Last time I spoke to you, I asked you which mythical Irish being you'd rather be, a leprechaun or a Jesus. And you didn't really know what a leprechaun was then. So this is since you've been there. You thought it was a unicorn I was talking about. I recall. But now you know all about leprechauns, so you can tell me more about leprechauns. Did they have pots of gold and stuff in the museum?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, it wasn't real gold. I found out when I went to the jewellery.
Did you ever go to the Four Valstens Museum in Copenhagen?
Oh, no.
It's based on... Bertolf Thorvaldsen, who was a sculptor, I think.
Yeah.
He lived and worked in Rome.
Yeah.
Why is there a museum to him in... that's like Denmark going, oh, he's from Denmark. Let's have a museum. He didn't even like Denmark enough to stay.
Again, I don't. Okay. I mean, I didn't write the Danish history. I didn't even read it.
Then my audience are uncomfortable in a way they would not have been before June the 23rd.
Well, I'm like sweaty. I'm like, shit, I need to... Yeah.
I like Denmark.
They won't let me back into Denmark now.
I know. Well, I saw his worry. I mean, it's a worrying thing for British comedians, UK comedians who want to go and work in Europe, which is quite a lot of... There's a lot of gigs out there. But then it's such a... It'll be all right, right? Will they let you back in? You can just stay here.
Well, and hide. Can I?
You can hide in my attic like a sort of Danish Anne Frank. I'll protect you. But if like Nigel Farage's pink shirts come and get us, I'll go, she's upstairs. She's upstairs, mate. I'm not that committed. It's a worrying time, isn't it? It's an odd time.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's scary.
Do you think the EU is quite good?
Yeah.
I'm
pro. I remain.
Yeah, because you're in. It's still in there, but like, because the
but
problem.
I feel selfish when I'm remain. I'm like, yeah, I'll stay.
Yeah. Well, it'd be interesting to see what
happens. Denmark is like, oh yeah, the Brits did it, so we might leave too. I'm like, no, it's the bad Brits who did it.
Yeah. You should tell the rest of Denmark that no one knows they're in it. They should keep their mouth shut until someone spots them. No one. I had to look up and just check you were in it. Because like some of those countries up there. I'm not saying all Scandinavians are the same, but... I mean, it's not really an insult, is it? Because they're all really great. So all Scandinavians are the same with their good health systems and good looks and...
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. Fuck them. So today on Twitter, I noticed you did a survey, it might have been this last week, asking people who are following you to whether they weed in the shower.
Yeah.
And whether they brush their teeth in the shower.
Yeah.
And you said it was for a bet, or to settle an argument.
Yeah.
What argument were you having, and who with? Which side were you thinking that's normal?
It was an argument with myself about
okay.
whether or not I was normal.
Okay. Do you do both of those things?
Well, I had to check first
okay.
how many people thought it was disgusting before I decided to speak openly.
Okay. Well, brushing your teeth in the shower is not disgusting, but it's weird.
Some of the tweets I got disagree with you. It's time-saving, isn't it?
I think that's fine. Brushing your teeth in the shower is fine.
I had like a huge argument with my friend who thought it was like so disgusting to wee in the shower and to brush your teeth. And then
well, at the same time, are you weeing and brushing your teeth at the same time?
Why not? That's not
well,
the same.
Yeah, why not?
You're not... Oh, well, I guess you... Well, I don't know. Do you always have to hold? Or is that just when
not
you...
Not in the shower. No, you can just let it go. Yeah, just let it go.
Then I don't see the...
To be honest, even if I hold it, it goes wherever it wants to go now. I'm 49 years old tomorrow. I mean, 6 days ago.
I had this, my friend, she told me that I was the most disgusting human being she'd ever met, and I couldn't... It turned out she thought I meant the bath.
Right.
I was like, yeah, well, in that case.
Yeah, but if you're getting out of the bath, and you saw the bug's already out, it's all right.
That'd be fine.
I wee in the shower.
But people on Twitter were like raging.
Yeah.
They were furious. Like, I would never do that.
It's not a good idea to shit in the shower.
No. I've not done...
No.
I've not done that.
You'd think sometimes if you're a bit loose, you think, oh, that'd probably be all right. Difficult to get it down the little hole. That's what I'm saying. However... Takes some work. I'm, again, not always in control. Now, at the age I'm at. So you are a podcaster. Well, let's talk about your podcast, because you do, we did mention it last time, you do a great comedians podcast where you talk to other comedians.
Mm-hmm.
And you also now do a podcast with Deborah where you talk about feminism.
Feminism.
Called The Guilty Feminist.
The Guilty Feminist.
Yeah, some fans...
That's our listeners are in.
So you sort of start by saying I'm a feminist but, and then you give the things that. So have you got any examples of I'm a feminist but that would work to explain the?
So I remember one, they're all a bit like, the point is that it's not great, a great feminist move. I think one of mine was, I'm a feminist, but I just watched a whole speech by Justin Trudeau on mute. Deborah had one saying, I'm a feminist, but some days my life doesn't even pass the Bechdel test. And every time we have to prepare, because we do quite a lot of, all our shows are live, and we have to have three for each live show. And every time I go, oh, I have nothing because I'm just such a good feminist. Oh, yeah, no, wait. Oh, I did that as well. Yeah, yeah.
So it's an interesting podcast. I mean, it's a very funny podcast. So you just stand up in it and you have a guest usually and chat about about feminism.
Yeah. About a certain topic every week.
Now, kind of women are equal, though, right? So we don't, do we need it anymore? If anything, I'd say, do we not need one for men now to get us back to being equal?
We actually, we've been talking a lot about whether or not we should have men on the podcast. And we wanted to do one with you on International Men's Day.
I'm going to November the 19th it is, apparently. I had to look it up. I did get that wrong. I did an interview with Jeff Lloyd, funny enough, who you've just done an interview with. And he asked me, I was talking about International Men's Day. And even though I've done on International Men's Day, on International Women's Day, I tweet it. On International Men's Day, I tweet it. I've done a routine, which I did 80 or 90 times, going on about the actual dates. And I said it was November the 20th on that. So, it's, you know, if that shoes, you can't get something into your head just by
learning. But then once you know it, you'll never forget it. Like, I woke up on July 5th, and the first thing I thought when I saw my calendar was, oh, it's Shane from Westlife's birthday. I'll never forget that. Ever.
You are a big fan of Westlife. We talked about this on the Insight. You still must be a fan.
It's on Wikipedia. It's like, Sylvia Higgins claims to be the world's biggest Westlife fan. No.
Well, you know, but you were, as a teenager, you were a big fan, and you did this show Bubble Wrap about partly about your obsession with them.
Yes.
And your fan fiction that you used to write about them as a teenager.
Yeah.
Which is kind of, it's sort of amazingly, as a 13-year-old, you're writing stuff where you half understand what sex is and kind of half don't quite get it.
I mean, because I've wrote 350, and like two of them was in the show, and I picked some... the most normal ones. There's some really dark stuff in the rest of them.
Yeah. And you've got lots of them down off the internet, have you? Or are they still
on? Yeah, all of them. All of them's gone. So in the past, like the last, I think, four times I did the show, I was lying when I said they're still on the internet.
Right.
But I managed, like I was writing everyone. Eventually someone was like, okay, we can take them off. I was like, thank God. I think they're still up there, but with like my name is removed.
Okay.
So in theory, people could really dig into it. And
yeah. And it's kind of interesting because you're born in 1988, which is just so upsetting, isn't it? And it's that's just unbelievable that you could be a functioning adult human being. But time has passed very fast for me. But you know, that's you. So you're of a generation where the internet is a normal thing, and you all your youthful things, excesses and lunacy goes up online, and it's, you know, that's a new thing.
Yeah. But we would still record. I'm so happy because it happened when I was like 12, 13, the internet in my life. And before that, like I would record. I mean, all the things I recorded would have been up there.
Yeah.
And it's like I would write like mixtapes for my teachers. With not just the song, like me talking over the song. Hey, Tina, since you left school, we really miss you.
I mean, you were quite troubled. It's a wonderful show. I saw the show. I don't think it was called Bubble Wrap the first time I saw it, or was it? But it was, maybe it was. But I saw it in Sligo, and then I saw it I saw the second last time you did it.
I think in Sligo they called it Sophie Loves Westlife, because I was kind of hoping that Westlife were going to come and see it.
Yeah.
Didn't.
None of them came to see it?
You know what? And I'm still angry about this. So after the show in Edinburgh, before I was doing it at Soho Theatre, I was in a bar with my very, very, very new boyfriend, now ex-boyfriend, not just because of this, but and my agent texted me and said, I'm in a VIP bar, Brian's here, come. Right. And I was like, fucking hell. I was like, listen, baby, I'm going to need to explain this in the car. And we went to this VIP thing, and I went straight up to Brian from Westlife, and I said, Brian from Westlife, and he went, Sophie Hagen, Sophie Hagen, Sophie Hagen. And I was like, holy shit. And he was like, your fans keep tweeting me about your show. And I said, yeah, sorry about that. I may have asked them to do that. He said, I hate that. I need to come and see the show. Are you nice to me in the show? And well, before I was about to answer, honestly, my agent interrupted and said, yeah, she is, she is. you want to go and see the show? And then he said, I said, oh, you know, my followers are really, really nice. And he said, oh, you know what? My fans are crazy. It's like, I'm right here. You idiot. And he promised he would come and see it, and he never saw it.
Oh.
And then he follows me on Twitter, and then, like, nothing. Like, nothing's, you know, no. Then I tweeted about pasta and cheese, and he liked it. I was like, what do you want, Brian? What do you want from me? How do I make you happy?
You're now more famous than Brian from Westlife.
Well, I think we should all tweet him that.
Yeah, and so you... He could become your stalker now. Has that ever happened, do you think, where someone has stalked someone and then the thought is flipped around and then they've gone, oh, actually, now I think about it. You know, and it's changed now, because if he'd responded to your stalkishness when you were 13, that's a different story. But now you're in your late 20s, Brian from Westlife could, you know, become obsessed with you, and that would be...
I'm planning. Because my next show is about pasta and cheese. Just to see if I can reel him in.
Yeah. But it's. I mean, you said there's a sort of serious side to which you talk about in the show, because you had to go into hospital.
But not because of, like, you're making it sound like I was such a big fan that they had to admit me.
That was an illness. It's like, this is an illness. No one should like Westlife this much. I mean, that someone should have pointed that out to you. They're simply not that
stay
good.
In a corner room, baby, please.
But yes, I mean, there were other...
I stopped being a fan when I was 13, 14, 15. I must be... Yeah, 15. And then, like, a few years later, I had a depression and was admitted. And then in the show, I kind of make that connection between why I think that I was a fan because I had a depression. And that was, like, what kept me busy, because it was 24-7. Yeah. It was... everything, you know, all the facts, all the songs, all the posters, everything, and chasing them physically down the street and stuff. And then I think once I, like, became, like, a proper teenager without that fixation on, you know, a band, and reality kind of kicked in, I just got really sad without Westlife in my life.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
I mean, they were still there. I just was like, oh. Well, Brian left. I was like, fuck you guys.
It wasn't as good without him, I have to say, but it's... I mean, it's sort of what happens to all teenagers to some degree. So that, you know, you're sort of escaping life before you get into it, and then life gets a bit depressing. And
but there were some grown-up people also chasing them. There were these four women. I mean, we were kids, so we called them the Rolls, because it was four fat women, which is fine. Like, but that was our nickname for them. Not because they were fat. We didn't hate them because they were fat, but they had their own car. Like, they can chase them so easily. And they were such like adults, so they had thoughts that we didn't have. Like, they started their own web magazine so they could get like press access to interview them. And I was like, you bastards. I wish I knew how to do that. But they were, you know, in their 30s. And I remember one of them had like a kid with her. And I was like, you know, even as a teenager, I was like, why are you? Like, I get me, because I'm 13. I don't know what I am or who I am, but... you're an adult person. But, you know, I get why... I understand it, because it is so consuming, that, like, being, like, a proper fan, and you just... there's, like, a sport to it. I can still... like, even meeting Brian, I was a bit like, oh...
Well, David's very like that with me. So, you know, David, he's 55 years old, David Frew, and, he works as a nuclear physicist. But most of his life is spent chasing after... he's chasing me around... aren't you? It's terrifying. But No, they pay my mortgage for me, so it's I kind of have to put up with it. It must be awful being. I know, the other day I was making Sunday dinner yesterday, and we didn't. I'd burnt my beans. You know what that's like. I was making some a chili, and I'd left my kidney beans on the stove too long, so I had to go and buy some kidney beans, and I was late because I was making dinner. And I rushed down to the shop, and then this kind of guy spotted me and went, "Hey!" I went, "Oh, hello." And then I went on past, and he looked a bit kind of out of it and weird. So, you know, I knew he'd probably listened to the podcast. "Hi, mate." And then he said, "No, now we have a conversation." And I said, "Well, no. I don't know who you are." I mean, I don't think I knew who he was. I said, "I'm really in a rush." And then I went into Tesco and got the stuff I needed. And then I was checking out, and he was standing outside the window waving at me. And then, no, this is, you know, I knew that he could now just follow me home. I'm not that far from home. And this guy, and it was really intimidating because,
you
know,
I
ran out of the supermarket and ran home and hoped he wasn't following me. And so that, you know, if you're properly famous, that must happen all the time.
I think that's so weird, the thing, because I had a tweet from someone who said, no, an email. I don't really, my email isn't really that public, but I got an email from a guy saying, "I'm not a creep."
Yeah.
But
they always say that, the one, you don't say that unless you're a creep.
And then he said, "So a few years or months ago, you tweeted a photo of a map around your house, but you deleted all the names, but I recognized one of the streets. And then you recently posted a photo of the front of your house, so now I know you live in this number."
Yeah.
"So if I was a big creep, I could realize that you live on this exact address."
Yeah.
"So I just want you to know that there might be creeps out there who do this puzzle themselves."
Yeah.
But I think that was a bit, and I took down the photos just in case, but I thought, why would, we're comedians, like people know where we are all the time. We post on Twitter, "I'm right here, right now, please come and find me."
Yeah.
Why would they want to know where we live?
No.
Well, I guess you have like valuable stuff.
Yeah, I'll have a lot. I have a tiny baby, the most valuable treasure I have.
But they can get babies from anywhere, can't they?
It's easier just to steal one from a.
They don't have. There's no. Because you can't tell anyone, "Oh, this baby is. I actually stole it from Richard Herring."
Yeah.
So there's no.
They will. They'll go, "That, and look, it's got Richard Herring's exact face, like in a Carry On film."
It just keeps whining and whining and whining.
No, but, you know, people. It's a weird thing, and people, you know, it's odd, even like being a little bit in the public eye, you get that. And I've had the same thing where people say, "I've worked out where you live and I want you to know," so that and you kind of go, "But you've done it."
Yeah,
you've done it. You're fucking weird. So that's, you know, sometimes people post something to my house and you kind of, you've crossed the.
Oh, that's not okay.
And they think they're being. You've kind of, they know, but they know they've crossed the line.
But is it okay if they know? Like, if, say, for example, I knew where Shane lived.
Yeah.
If I wrote in this fictional letter last year, I know this is a bit creepy.
But I'm not a creep. But I'm standing in your shower now watching you read this.
But I'm doing this show
on
in
the
Edinburgh.
Toilet.
My Edinburgh show needs an ending, so I was wondering. I'm in Sligo doing Richard Herring's podcast. You know what? You know when you see yourself from the outside and you go, "Oh, wait a minute."
It's a very odd thing because I think, like, that fandom, most people get it. Most people get, even if you get very fanatical about it. So, you know, I'm fans of stuff and I've been excited to meet people. And, you know, I think I talked about, I got, when I worked at British Telecom, I got Neil Kinnock's phone number, who I'm not a big fan of, but I did ring him one night when I was drunk. And he didn't pick up the phone, but you kind of go, that's the same thing. You know, it's sort of like, you know, you're not doing it in any malicious way, but there's still, even if you don't mean it, there's a malicious intent behind it, because it's a scary, you know, if Neil Kinnock picked up the phone and went, "Hi, bad luck in the election." "Oh, yeah, no, it's 3 o'clock in the morning, the night after you've just lost. Yeah, bye." It would be a weird thing, wouldn't it?
So I worked in telemarketing for fundraising in Denmark, and this was before I started doing stand-up, and I would search, because we had this big register thingy, and I would search for Danish comedians and then, like, pretend they were just randomly. And I would do that thing that we know now, that people do, of going, "Oh, yeah, did it." And then you go, "Oh, where do I recognize your name?" And they'd always go, "No, I don't know." I was like, "Oh, is there really any way that I could know your name?" And they'd go, "No." Just tell me you're famous so I can say that I'm a fan. I don't think any of the Danish comics know that, but I signed a lot of them up for the Danish Refugee Council.
They'll probably put two and two together now. They probably don't listen to this. If they do listen to this, probably luckily I put that buffer of extreme xenophobia against Denmark at the start, which will have only the Danish people listening to this will be now writing emails to me, or letters and posting them to my house, maybe. But let's go for it. There was something that came out of that, but it'll come back to me. I'm a very old man, just enjoying being 48. Who would you rather died, Windsor Davis or Matthew Crosby's wife? Now, I'm guessing you don't know who either of those people. You know Matthew Crosby, but I don't think you know Matthew Crosby's
wife.
Do you know Windsor Davis?
No, I don't know.
Oh, come on.
I don't know any references. I have no references. Last time, you had to tell me what a badger was.
I did have to tell. It's surprisingly difficult to explain what a badger is to someone who doesn't know what a badger is.
Could I pick and choose from any of Pepe's wives?
Wife, the one you would write, the other two, are they married the other two?
If I had to
yeah.
murder
one of the wives.
Basically, when I first, one of the first nights we hung out, they were all somewhere, and then me and Matthew were at the bar, and Matthew said, "Which one do you want?" referring to the beer, and I was like, "Oh, the tall one." He was like, what? So, yeah.
So you imagine Matthew Crosby was sort of the pimp of...
Yeah, I was like, oh, well, funny you should ask. I guess the tall one. So, yeah, if the tall one's girlfriend.
I don't think he's got... I mean, he might have a girlfriend. It's hard to imagine.
No, he does.
It's hard to imagine any of Pappy's actually having sex with anyone.
No, I can totally... I can see
they all
that.
Look like... I mean, they all look like PG Tips chimps, and that won't mean anything to you either, but they...
No. I don't know what that is.
They're literally I've always described them as a cross between the Monkees, the pop band The Monkees, and the PG Tips Chimps, which is kind of, it's just a coincidence both of those things are monkeys. It's just a coincidence. Okay, I'll ask you another emergency question. This is from Ali's Randomage. Have you ever flown a kite?
No. No, it feels like a thing you do in the movies.
Really? You never, yeah. Not even as a...
No. I mean, my childhood wasn't that childlike. Like my mom has a very weird sense of logic. So she's like, well, kids' films, if you stop, you'll stop watching them at some point, which means, you know, they're not that good. So why not start you on adult movies? Not like adult, but like. So I would like watch, as like a 5-year-old, like Con Air and Die Hard. And just love it. So we didn't do all that playing stuff. No. That was for kids.
Wow.
This is why I might be, this is probably why I do comedy. Just realizing.
It's a good question. Always, because if people have flown a kite, there's always an interesting story.
Is there?
And yeah.
Interesting? Yeah. Or is there just a story?
No, it's been surprised. I thought that'd be a terrible question. I thought that's a funny question to ask because it's such a bad question. But
it makes
Ali, whoever he or she is, from Ali's Randomage, he wrote 800 questions, and that's the only good one. No, he or she also wrote, have you ever demolished a wall or a building?
I feel like
good
I
question.
Have.
You feel would like I you have.
Would I remember if I...
I think you would remember, but I thought I'd murdered a little child. So that might have been a dream where you destroyed... destroyed a wall. I got my first kite. I got when I haven't told this story. I've told two kite stories. It's amazing how many. I really wanted a kite. I was about 6 or 7 years old, and there were Green Shield stamps in those days. Do you remember those, David? You do, don't you? The others are going, what? What are we talking about? And you collected Green Shield stamps at petrol stations and stuff, didn't you? And then you stuck them in a book, and then you went into the Green Shield stamp shop. It was like Argos, but it was they didn't accept money. They only accepted stamps. And you could get anything you wanted. And I got an orange kite, and I was very excited. And I was with my auntie Jean, who isn't my real auntie. See, it's exciting already, isn't it? And she was double parked outside the Green Shield stamp shop, and a policeman came down and said, what's your name? And she said her name was Jean Pickup, which it was. And he assumed she was joking and we got cross with her because her name was Pickup.
Well,
see, look at that, and look at the amazing the kite-based store, isn't it?
You can.
Haven't thought about that for years. Got a kite, that orange kite. It was good. Can't remember ever flying it.
You can't make fun of the police. They're not that open to jokes.
They are, but it wasn't a joke. That was her name.
Yeah, but...
So he was angry with her because he thought she was taking the piss.
Well, I was polite to one, and he got angry with me.
Oh, yeah.
He said, what's your name? I said, Sophie Hagen, what's yours? Which was just in order to go, oh, hi, Steve, but... Yeah. Got very angry. He said, I wish you would have kept running so we could have unleashed the dogs on you.
Wow.
And I said,
Why were you running, Sophie? And why did they have dogs with them? I think the interesting part of this story may have happened just before this is, what's your name?
I don't know what it is. Trespassing, is that what it's called?
Yeah, well, I don't know. Is it? Or is it rape and murder that you're. That's the word, yeah.
there was a protest in Ellerød in Denmark because they were sending home, oh, was it like 160 refugees? They were sending them back.
Okay.
Like people they knew were going to die the second they got back. But they were still sending them back. So there was this big protest where people were locking arms in front of the refugee camp. Now, they placed the refugee camp right next to a military base, which is really nice, and the people who are, you know, have PTSD, and then like a bomb will go off. It's very fun. So, so the police then shut off the every entry to the protest. So we had to go through people's gardens, you know, and like I didn't realize till afterwards that the people I was with were drunk, and to them this was like a fun thing. I took it very seriously, and we were like crawling over the field and through like a tiny little forest thing and through people's backyards, and eventually they were, you know, we could hear the dogs, and we had to like get up and go, no, we're here. But and then he got really rude.
But he's just annoyed he hadn't had a chance to unleash the dogs.
I said to him, I don't think you're allowed to say that. I think that's illegal. And he was like, he just lost it. And then he put me on some register. But then they said, when we were kind of done and they'd registered all of us. Also, yeah. One of my friends, he asked him, when were you born? And he said, 1991. I was like, really? I didn't know you were that young. And he was like, shut the fuck up. When I turned around, my three friends were like lying on the ground with their arms over their heads, and I was like, guys, it's the police, they're here to help us. I was young and stupid, but then when they were done, they were like, right, now you just go home. And we're like, okay, and then we started walking towards the protest, and then when we came to the protest, we just stayed. Nothing happened.
Yeah, they can't, what could they do?
I mean, they still took the refugees, but, you know.
Yeah, and set the dogs on people.
He said that, they're not allowed to say that.
Yeah.
You know that moment when you realize, it's like when you realize, you know, like Santa isn't real. And you have that as an adult as well, where you go, oh no, the police are good. And you go, oh, okay.
Yeah, I don't think it's the worst thing the police have done recently. So it's up there, definitely up there. So that's all from
saying is, all lives matter.
They do. All Danish lives matter.
All middle class.
See, it's a good question, the kite question. He wouldn't have got that without the kite question. Fucking Ali. He's taken 800 questions to get there, but... Or was it the demolish the building one? But whatever, that is still... He's done... Have you ever demolished a building or a wall? No.
No, I don't think so. A tent?
A tent? Did you demolish it?
No.
Just take it down when he's after you. That's less of a story. Have you ever dismantled a tent? No, just put them up, walk away. I have to buy a tent every time I go camping. Taking them down is the fun bit. No, I won't ask that. If you had the option, let's see if you know what these animals are. If you had the option of adopting a baby fox or a baby koala, which one would you choose? That is from hellogiggles.com.
Well, I think it's about... Well, I was in Australia and we went to see a koala...
Yeah.
And they charge, they took like $20.
The koala did.
Yeah. The greedy little bastards. But they
eucalyptus leaves cost a lot. That's
the people, they were like $20 to take a photo next to it, and it was like sleeping.
Yeah.
That's a lot of money you could make. That's like 30 seconds, $20. The maths, right? Where baby foxes, you know, everyone has them in their backyard.
Well, they do. They're hard,
so the koala,
they're hard to pin down.
It's a money.
So you can make
money
some money
machine.
Out of the koala.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and I get another one. Make them kiss.
is that ethically allowed? Two baby koalas?
No, when they're. That's disgusting. No,
it
when
is.
They were adults.
Well, so you want. Only you want one adult and one baby koala? And you want them both out. You grow till they're adults.
Shannon,
and then you make them kiss each other then.
I just want to keep making money off the koalas.
Yeah, well, that's...
So I want them to have little tiny koala babies at some point.
Okay, that's good.
Was that a good answer?
It was
like
a very good
it.
Answer. Have you ever tried sushi? Do you have that?
Yes.
Yeah, and everyone has. It's an odd question. It's an odd question to write, isn't it? I wonder if this will keep people on their toes, won't it? Have they ever tried sushi? Yeah.
How many is normal? I should do a poll about this. How many pieces of sushi is normal to eat
in one sitting?
Yeah.
It's a good question.
Yeah.
And
they always give me two sets of chopsticks.
Right.
And I'm like, oh, okay. I get what you're saying.
Well, I find it because often they're clever with sushi because they put it on a conveyor belt, and so you don't quite know how much you know. If you're sitting in a restaurant, have you ever done that?
Yeah,
when
but
it comes
you have
around?
To keep the bowl, so you do.
Yeah,
know.
But then they come and take them away, so you never know.
Oh,
they come and they're constantly
you go to
totting
fancier
up.
Places.
So you lose.
I go.
You lose track of how much you've eaten. So I don't know how much I eat, but if I was going to order, I'd say 12 pieces of sushi.
Are you kidding?
Yeah.
No, I'm kidding.
No, I'm not. I'm saying 12 pieces.
12 pieces?
Yeah. How many would you have, Sophie?
12.
Yeah. Did you ever go and see the bog bodies in Copenhagen Museum?
The what?
In bog bodies in Copenhagen. There's loads of bog bodies.
Bog bodies.
Bog bodies.
I don't know what that is.
You're from Denmark.
Well,
it's your main thing you have.
Wrong.
Bog.
B-O-G,
like a bog.
Yeah.
Do you know what a bog is? Do you have a problem with words that have B and G in them? Is that what... We never learned that in English. Those pages were missing.
Do you mean the Danish word?
Bog bodies. I mean, the English word is probably in Danish. It's bog.
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 Bodies.
Bog. I don't know what you're talking about.
A bog is like, like made of peat and it's muddy and like in the old days. Like it's made of like mud, like quicksand and stuff. You know, like in movies where people go into quicksand, but it's like not made of sand, it's made of dirt. And in the old days in Denmark, with the Vikings and stuff, as punishment, they used to chuck people into the bogs and they'd die. And they chucked in.
Where is it? It's like a.
Where is it?
No, what is it?
What is it?
You can't just say something, something mad. That's all I heard.
Bog,
you probably
it's a bog.
It
you know, like a toilet?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. In England, we call that a bog.
Really?
Yeah, because what it is, it's a fetid mass of feces and shit and stuff.
So, like, the toilet brothers.
Body, bog, bodies. Like, body. This is my body.
Oh, body.
Yes.
I thought about like buddies, like friends.
Well, they are so friends like, in the end.
So like mud buddies.
They're bodies. Why can you not have been to see this? This is the best thing I saw in Copenhagen.
Was it in Copenhagen?
Yes, that's famous for their bog bodies. The most famous thing, the mermaid bog bodies. Probably someone put their finger in a dike. It's the same place. They all
like...
did that.
Are you doing like a surreal comedy
no!
thing?
Here we go. Just go to Google.
Yeah.
Put in bog bodies. I'm going to put in Copenhagen. Bog bodies Denmark is the second thing.
There's bog bodies Dublin, weirdly, is the first thing. I didn't even think to ask Graham Linnan about the bog bodies, but he would have known about it. There's bog bodies on the British Museum. When I went on my 40th birthday,
six days ago,
I went to the British Museum in the morning with Ben Moore, and we went to look at the Lindau man, who's called Pete Marsh. That's his funny name.
It's like a mummy.
It's not like a mummy, no. It's very different. I can do it in Danish for you.
Okay.
Alle de beste bogtitler finder du historitel prov gratis i 14 dage. How's that go for you?
Can you do that again?
Storytel, bogger, storytel.dk.
Human cadaver. You didn't say that. You didn't. It's like a zombie thing.
So
like
a bog body is a human cadaver that has been naturally mummified, so you were right. It's not like a mummy, though, because it's not wrapped up in cloth and stuff, and it doesn't come alive and chase
you.
Like,
They're Tull and Man. It's a
Tull
something man.
Yeah, so do you like those?
They're all right. Yeah, they're all right.
Look at his little face. He looks like he's asleep, doesn't he? I'd like to take a video of it, but that's just how I take my videos. Look at his little face. Ah, all made
what's
out of
mud.
What's
it called in Danish, though? Can you find out?
What's it called in Danish?
Yeah, because that might... trigger my...
I think this might be it's a bit of dead air, but I think it's going to be worth it. God in heaven till eventer lid bogger with a, it's got an,
yeah,
a cross across the O.
No, that's not it. That's
Augie soundbooks. Bogger,
that's e-books.
Okay.
I think it's because B-O-G is book.
Okay,
in Denmark.
Well, no wonder it's confusing. They used to chuck them in the bogs, and then, you know, they died. But then the joke's on the people who chucked them in, because where are they? Not in museums. Oh, Tull and Man.
I went to that... Is that, like, what's the place in Paris with the death? No, no. The underground thing of the... Those ones, yeah. I almost got stuck down there. Because they don't tell you that you have to walk up a lot of stairs to get back up, and it's quite a long time. Yes. Like, my legs stopped working. I couldn't get up. But that's not the same.
No. Have you ever seen a ghost, Sophie Hagen?
No.
I asked you this before.
I know, but... I've been in... I mean, if you believe in it... then I've been in rooms with them. If you don't believe in them, I've been in rooms with my crazy friend who thinks they were there. My friend believes, like, she lives in this really old flat, and she, you know, she believes in them. So she would be, she knows I don't want to hear about it, but she would sometimes just look right over my head, and then I'd go, what? She'd go, oh, nothing. And I go, tell me. She's like, no, it's fine, they're friendly. I hate her so much. We went backpacking. We're at this weird hostel in Spain, I think. And it was one of those where when we first asked if we could get in, they said, there are no rooms left. And then we were like, I was just asked again, I think. I was sure. And he went, oh, actually. And he found like a special key under a special book, under a special whatever. And then he took us into this room that was like, it looked like it was a normal like hostel room, but there were some extra beds in there, like it looked like a storage room of some sort. And my friend just couldn't sleep, and she kept saying, there's someone over there, there's someone over there. And I was like, oh, good night. And the next morning she said, she had like a story about something, and she kept saying it was a sick child. And I was like, duh, that's horrible. And then when we went out, the building right next to ours was like an old children's hospital thing. It was, you know, I know what you know, she could have seen that on the way in, or Googled it, or she's creepy as fuck. Her grandmother, like, I love her, but I hope she's lying. Like, I trust her so much, but I hope she's lying about everything. They have like a family ghost, and I told the story on stage about it, and now they want me to tell the story every time, because her grandmother's house, there was a ghost, and she used to say, like, we found out when we were staying in her grandmother's house, and she said, oh, don't worry, it's a friendly ghost. And when I tried to ask why they thought it was friendly, it was because once her grandmother had been pushed down the stairs, and she said, no, but that's when they found out that she had cancer, because she had to be taken to the hospital. It's like, that's the stupidest. The ghost didn't necessarily know that. It could have just been trying to kill her. And I told it on stage, and then the grandmother died, and now they want me to tell the story every time I'm with her family. That's kind of like a reminder, like a nice story about her grandmother. It's so weird. But she believes in all of those things.
Well, she'll be a ghost now as well, won't she? So she can get her own back. Yeah, she can get her own back on the guy for pushing her down the stairs.
It's going to be like...
Or on the, you know, maybe they can only interact with human beings, but she can find out the relatives of that person, the descendants.
The mansion that the grandmother lived in was this old... It was apparently, like, the story goes... There's these two eagles out in front because apparently Hitler... came over and saw the house and went, I want that house, right. Placed some eagles there to kind of let them know, and then, you know, he died, and yeah. He never got, but it was that good of a house.
Yeah, you need to put some eagles at the front too. Why don't you just put, like, this is Hitler's house on the door, keep out, this belongs to Adolf Hitler. I've heard that there's so many stories about Hitler wanted to live in different places.
Oh, really?
Oh, there's loads of, like, his headquarters were going to be in Duquesne Court in Balham, which, if you know it, I mean, then it's not that nice.
He never bombed
Duquesne Court, though, did he? Said, keep away from that. And if you see an eagle, that's what it was. If you're flying over and you see two eagles, don't bomb that place.
He didn't want people to send him stuff.
He didn't. So I found a funny story about you telling a story on... there's a very funny podcast, which people might not have seen, of Alfie Brown's, which is a sort of parody of the Jerry Seinfeld one. So it's... comedians on buses drinking tap water. So he takes you on a rider on a bus, and then he takes you somewhere and you drink some tap water.
Yeah.
But so you told a funny story that I hadn't heard before of you being in an urban comedian contest.
It's the worst. It's the worst day of my life and the best day of my life. It happened. Thing is, for people listening who are not British, urban here means not what urban means in real life. Urban means city, okay? So when I saw there was a competition called Best Urban Comedian of Streatham 2012, I signed up and turned up and realized, oh, fuck. And I tried to tell, like, I was like, I'm so sorry, I had no idea, I know now, I'm just going to go. And they were like, no, we're not racist. I was like, no, it's fine, you can be, I'll just go. And then I found out that it was a best female urban comedian of Streatham 2012. And then the other girls who were on the lineup had, it was like their first gig.
Right.
And I was like, there's another reason why I shouldn't be here, because at this point I'd gigged for 2 years, and I was like, no, this is not good. But they made me go up and do it, and I came second. It was the best night of my life. The atmosphere was amazing. Everyone was so nice. But then I mean, you have to know that it's so different in Denmark, and I've learned a lot, and it's so different, and I'm not... So they wanted me back to do a 10 the following Sunday, and I got nervous. I thought, can I just do... Because I'd only done 3 minutes, which was like 10 seconds because the atmosphere was so crazy. So I was like, oh, can I do 10? I better stay and watch the show to kind of see what they're talking about, because maybe I'll need to touch on the same topics. And so they were all talking about being black. So I thought, oh... Maybe I should talk about being black. And we're all in the future together, so I do know that wasn't the best. So I wrote 10 new minutes about being black. After about 4 minutes, they started blinking the lights furiously. Like, so few, I thought, is there a fire? Like, he was so desperate to get... And they were shouting at me. And there was one joke. I'd cleared it with the other acts backstage. And they said, oh, it's hilarious, do it. Fuck them. Fuck them so much. It was really horrifically racist. But I thought, well, if I'm doing it to them, they'll be fine. No. So eventually the MC just went on stage. This was right before, because I was like telling them, like, no, I'll save it. Don't worry, I got this. And I panicked. And I don't think if you're not a comedian or if you don't do this, I don't know if you really understand, like, because when you're on stage, there's so much panic and there's lights, and you just your brain works differently. So I'm really trying to not say this. So my mind went, what do you do when people hate you? What do you do? Common enemy. You know, like Hitler did. So I started saying, what's up with Chinese people? And that just made me seem more racist. So the MC came up on stage and like pulled the microphone out of my hand and said, wasn't she great? And they just went, no! And this woman in the front row, I remember her face, he just went, she's rude! And then he whispered to me, he said, run. And I laughed, I was like, that's funny. And he said, no, seriously. And he pointed at the security guard, this huge man, he said, don't go that way. He just told me he wants to make your front and your back become one. I was like, how, what, oh. And I ran out, and I ran to the bus, and I got on the bus, and I got on the tube, and I went home, and I bought a plane ticket for 10 hours later. And I went back to my mom and just laid in the fetal position for a week. I was like, I'm not moving then. I can never go back. I was never invited back. I texted
them. You weren't invited back.
I'm so sorry. So horrible. I think Dane Baptiste saw it. And he's, you know, it took a while before we really got on. And even today, he's like, oh, no, it wasn't that bad. But he, like, looks away as he says it. Like, oh, no, just can someone save me from this conversation? It was so bad. Like, I can't even... It's, like, Denmark is just so... Like, now when I go back and I see, you know, open mics and stuff, you kind of go, oh, you know, casual racism, casual sexism is kind of like, kind of... It's just normal. It's what you do. You don't know. It's horrifically wrong. Like, so wrong. Like, don't do it.
But to actually go to, you know, there's one thing being casually racist, but to be casually racist in an urban comedy club. I mean, you sort of have to admire that in a way. That's, you'd think they go, well, this must be some kind of performance arts where she wouldn't come into this club and do this stuff. There must be a veil of irony.
But that's kind of in my, that's the logic in my head. Yeah. It's like, then, no, I don't mean it. Otherwise, I wouldn't be saying it here. No, no, no. Oh, God. Tanya Moore won the competition. She was so great. And I'm so happy that she was so great. Because I couldn't, there's no way I could have, even if I was better than her, I couldn't have won it. I couldn't have been like, yay! Thank you! The best.
Have you seen a badger yet? Do you know what one is?
I don't think I've seen one.
No. I didn't have an iPad, because you know, in Sligo there wasn't any. There was no internet access. I couldn't show you.
You didn't describe it so that. Well, it's like a dog
crossed with a. I put badger in, and the second thing that's come up is badger, badger, badger. And I'm, what is it? Yeah, I don't see that. I'm more interested in that. Let's see. Badger's animated music. That's what a badger is, though. Growling. That's a cartoon one.
Growling, it's called.
Badger's animated music video. Steven Spielberg. No. Well, this is an advert for the BFG that's come up. I'm confused by... I had a character called the Attitudeless Badger. Was that one? No, Yeah, should we just Google stuff for a bit? let's not test. Let's see if we can kill everyone in the audience today. So we've got one down. Let's see if we can take another 300. There's a badger. There's three badgers. Look
at
them.
The black and white one. Oh, that's
it. I don't know what that is, but that's those are badgers there. Look at them. That's what. Oh.
No, I
save the badger, though. I've accidentally gone to save the badger page. Brian Mays at the top of it.
We have them.
That's what's on his head. That's why he's.
That's not a British animal.
It's not a British animal.
No, like it's like we have them too. I thought it was like whenever people say badger.
Why do you have such difficulty understanding what I was saying?
Because you did that wasn't
bad. It's like a dog. What is that? It's like a dog.
You could have just said like.
Have you ever seen anything that looks more like a dog crossed with a sort of ferret and a skunk and stuff? That's what I said. I think.
You could have just said like a large black and white.
What?
Hamster.
I don't think that would have been an accurate description.
I would have known if you'd just... Yeah.
Well, now we know. So you've learned something. You know what a bog body is.
Learned
a badger. See what else we can get.
Yeah.
Get there before we...
Such a hard language, really.
It is. It is.
Which only makes my accomplishments so much more impressive.
It's quite impressive that you can do comedy in two languages,
Thank you. I can do comedy.
You know what?
I thought I met a guy who does it in Finnish, Swedish, and English, and he will sometimes do gigs in all three languages, just take turns when he does corporate gigs in Finland or Sweden. Which, and I was like, I'm not telling anyone in England because they're still slightly impressed that I can do this in English.
Does he do it regardless of what the audience is, though? So it just takes turns. Finnish today, bad luck. Bad luck, Swedish audience. You'd think they'd be similar, wouldn't you? They're not.
No.
The Finnish is a weird language.
It's fucking horrendous.
If you could speak Finnish in English,
so
I'd be impressed with that.
It's so cool.
It's all every single... I mean, they could do with some more... They've just used K a lot. That's all they do. They go, let's get rid of all the other letters. Let's not make Denmark and make up some new ones. Let's get rid of the most of them and just K and an I.
But
their
words so long as well.
Yeah.
It's like, hello.
Yeah, it's very racist what you've done there.
No, it's
so that is... I'm very... very offended, but I would like to apologise to any
my
listeners. Awful.
It's my own people, though, isn't it? We're all the same.
No, they're very different in Finland. Where do you stand on transubstantiation? Which is, do you know what that is? It's because it's got a B in it, I'm worried. And you might not know what it is. That's the belief that... do you think the bread that you eat in Holy Communion literally turns into Jesus' body, or do you think it's symbolic of Jesus, the life that Jesus gives us? Do you think it's literally, you put it in your mouth? You know Christianity, you have that in there. I mean, my understanding was Christianity came to the Vikings and, you know, they took it up.
Why are you asking me if I believe that bread is Jesus?
Yeah, do you believe when people eat bread, you know, you go to the church, they give you that little round bit of bread and they put it on your tongue.
Do I believe that's actually Jesus?
Do you believe? It's not Jesus when you put it in. Don't be ridiculous. It's a piece of bread, obviously. Everyone thinks that. But then when you put it in and it goes in your mouth, then it becomes Jesus. Or do you think it stays being a piece of bread? But you have to think, in a way, that bread is a bit like some of Jesus' body.
Well, I don't feel like I really want to ruin any of my future... I don't want to be at the gates of heaven.
Yeah.
And I'll be like, we listen to that podcast.
Yeah, but, you know, I don't think it works. I don't think you can hedge your bets. I think they go, well, I didn't commit, so you let me in. They go, no, you had to commit to one. So in a way, by going, I'm not going to say which it is, then you're screwed either way.
Denmark isn't religious. We don't really, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know anything about that.
So you think, what you're saying is you think bread
think
just stays
Jesus.
Being bread.
It's definitely Jesus.
Okay. Well, you've upset a lot of the Protestant listeners to this podcast now. That's all I can say. Please direct your... easily find our address. You can tabulate it.
But they don't get as angry, do they? Like, if you piss off Protestants, they'll be like, meh. Where if you piss off Catholics, they get a bit...
Now you've managed to do both, I think. You've sided with the Catholics and then said Catholics are all insane and will attack you. If you suggest a piece
just
of bread.
Historically, I don't know.
I think they're both pretty bad.
I'm going to stop talking.
No, I'm trying to get you into trouble.
I know.
I don't know, we've got loads of time left. Have you got what it takes to be a spy?
No.
Ah, that's good. That is very good. A lot of celebrities have died in 2016. I don't know if it's hit Denmark as badly as the rest of...
They still died in Denmark as
well. Well, there might be other celebrities we don't know of who have died in... Which celebrity death has hit you the hardest in 2016 so far? By the time this comes out, there'll be more. And people look and go, why didn't they choose the Queen? why didn't they just overlook the Queen who died this week? It's probably. I think Prince Charles will die before the Queen, don't you?
Before.
I think he'll die, and then she'll go, and then she'll die.
It's a reference. I have no idea.
You know the Queen is.
I know the. Yeah. Yeah, but I don't know what
sort of
she's
making
is.
Prince Charles hang on. Prince Charles is her son. So.
What?
Yeah.
Wait. No. Wait.
This is
Can you say that again?
You know the Queen Elizabeth?
Yeah.
She has produced 3 children out of her vagina. Like, even though she's a queen, she still does that the traditional way.
And it's...
Prince Charles.
Okay.
Princess Anne. Prince Edward. Prince Charles is the oldest one. Okay. He'll become king, but he might not be King Charles.
I thought William and the other one were her kids.
The Queen.
Yeah.
Ah, wow, that would be an impressive old vagina if that.
But that's because in my head they've been the same age as the Danish princesses.
Yeah,
and they came straight from the Queen.
They born from some hideous old crone in Denmark?
Yes. Exactly.
From some 70-year-old.
I've never heard of them before. Charles and what?
Prince Charles, Princess Anne.
Princess Anne?
Yeah, I met Princess Anne last
year. Is it true?
What's wrong?
Is it
How
true?
How dare you come here to our country? The more I talk to you, the more I wish I'd voted exit now. I'm ashamed of myself.
Princess Anne.
Princess Anne, what's wrong with that?
What's the last one?
Prince Edward. That's a good name. Andrew, yeah. We tried to not bring him up. You've left one out, Rich. Prince Andrew's a So that's why we don't. We don't. He sort of works as... My belief is he's sort of a... And he sort of travels around the country getting contracts, and he gets most of the money, but then he lets the people have... to get them. That's my understanding. I think, is it all right, Ben, if I just say that's my understanding at the end of that? That is no longer libelous. I'm not sure about that. So I tend not to mention him because, you know, of the whole him being a... when I like to think of the nice rule. Princess Anne, who's very nice, does a lot of work for Save the Children. And the Motor Neuron Disease Charity. There's a lot of work. Princess Anne is the best one. If I was in charge, I'd make Princess Anne the queen next.
I'm not going to trust you.
Some of that might not be able to go out, I don't think. I think if my listeners hear that I think Princess Anne should be the next queen, they'll be furious. What do you want to know about? She's had 4 kids, the queen. I don't know if you know Prince Anne, Princess Anne. Main one, Prince Charles, Prince Andrew. He's a nice guy. And he's one of the good guys. Prince Edward. Now the stories I could tell you about him, and then Prince Charles. Prince Charles then had sex with Lady Diana.
Who's Philip?
Yeah, and
Philip the Queen's husband.
Prince Philip is the Queen's husband.
Yeah. Okay, is he still alive?
I think they have to. Once the Brexit thing comes out, I think they all have to go back to. Back to Europe again. Well, I'm hoping. That's my understanding of what's going to happen. So he's still alive. He's 90, probably by now, to be honest.
I don't trust
any chances
of...
This is all...
I don't trust
it's all true. That's the terrible thing.
But someone told me that there was a thing that everyone knew about your queen, which was that she smokes, but no one talks about it.
Yeah.
So I did a whole routine on stage. Like, you know how your queen... And that's apparently not a thing.
No.
So I don't trust anything that anyone says about your royal family.
Well, you should trust me. Prince William is definitely not the Queen's daughter.
There's 4 people I had no idea existed.
Is what?
I didn't know those 4 people existed.
Well, you know, you should work a bit harder on doing your research about it. When I went to Denmark, I went and looked at the bog bodies.
I used to have a poster of William, I think.
Picture of William?
Like a poster.
Yeah. Must have been like a little kid, though, when you were a kid.
Oh, what's the other one?
Well, they're all... I mean, they're not... I suppose they're a little older than you, aren't they?
The hot one.
William was the hot one, but he's gone off, I think. I think Harry is now the hot one. If I had to sexually objectify the royals in the way that... not do. Then I would say Prince Harry's now the sexy one, right? Yeah. David? Oh, come on, David. Look at your shirt. Come on, you know, let's just accept who you are. It's fine. We're amongst friends now. He's, you know, he sort of turned from being, he was a plonky, he was a wally, wasn't he? And then he used to dress up as Nazis and stuff. He was a plonker.
Plonker?
Yeah. He was a bit of a nit. And then, but then he sort of pulled it together. He's done lots of work with the Paralympics and stuff. And he's quite sexy now, isn't he?
Yeah.
You know, he's almost as sexy as his dad, isn't he? Had to do, that's the obligatory. That's what you have to do.
Who's his mother?
His mother's Lady Di, definitely.
Is it? Yeah.
There's no question about that.
Are you sure? Both of them.
She's had both, she had two, then. Wasn't much as
are
that.
Are they the next? Are there other kids? What about the other ones? Anne and Edward and.
They're all there, they aren't.
Do they have kids as well?
Yes, well. Prince Andrew had sex with Lady Fergiana and had Beatrice and Eugenie, who are a fucking waste of space. just really are. One of them had a hat once. That's all that's ever happened. One of them had a weird hat. And that's all they've done between them. One of them wasn't even involved in that. And she's been riding that wave.
Well, what's going to happen when the Queen dies? Who's next?
Well, then Prince Charles comes in. That's why my humorous joke from earlier was then... that if she just waits till he's died, then he doesn't get to be king.
Oh,
and then next is William.
That's funny.
Next is William. Yeah.
Okay, and then who's next?
Then William will be in, and then Harry. Oh, no, actually, no, George. George is in after him, and then...
That's his new baby.
And then a new one, little spud face that you just call... they're called a spud face.
I'm learning so much about your culture.
So, like, you know, Prince Andrew is very unlikely to be king now. He'd have to pay some of the contacts he's got to kill, like... quite a lot of his family, and would be I think people would frown on that. I mean, he's got away with a lot, hasn't he, when you think about it, but I think if he went that far.
So it's Phil. So the
Philip's
Queen's...
not going to be anything, you know, he's.
Is that the thing? Is that like
I
the.
I don't know where you got that from. That certainly came up in the bit that will be cut out. So you just saying that is. As an illegal immigrant in our country. You're right with that, Ben? You can work around that. He's flashing all blue on himself. It looks like a Blue Man Group thing going back there. She's got a nice blue. It's quite scary. That might be the ghost. It looks like a ghost, doesn't he? He might have died. That's interesting. That was an interesting diversion. So anyway, yeah, what were we talking about before that? Who's going to die? Who's hit you the hardest in clean edit? Whose death is...
It's going to be 20 minutes long.
So, he'll be so annoyed with me, that's what makes it really funny.
I think it's David Bowie because I had to tell my mother... She was a huge, huge fan.
Yeah.
And I found out we were on vacation together and she was with me somewhere where I had to do a gig. And I saw it on social media and I was like, I don't want to be the one to tell her that I was. And then so I waited.
You probably left it and she'd have found out.
No, I didn't want her to find out.
You didn't want to find out from anyone else?
So I waited till she was out and then I texted her. We don't know.
No. It's odd that with that is an acceptable way to let people know. I mean, like, the thing with Twitter is you discover these things in a very shocking way now. I think, because everyone races to be the first person to tell you. So Caroline Ahern, I was just browsing through Twitter and then suddenly all these stuff's coming up. about. I thought it was. I thought it must be like someone else because they were referencing Gogglebox rather than everything else. I thought maybe someone had the same name, but then that's a terrible shock. When John Peel died, someone just he texted me. This was before Twitter, really. He said, "John Peel dead." Nice way, isn't it? That's nice. Just John Peel dead. Imagine if that was how every you do that face to face. Please come around. Yeah, your kid's dead. Killed in a car accident. So it's a harsh world we live in now.
I don't know. I didn't know many of them.
No,
because a lot of it's like British personalities.
I've now learned
because then you have to Google them because people are sad and you're like, oh, why are they sad? You're like, they seem really great. Oh, that's a bummer. Same with British politics.
Yeah,
I had no idea. And now, as they're stepping off, I'm like, oh, who was that guy? Oh, good, he's gone.
Yeah. Well, that's usually with the politicians. It's a nice end that they don't go away in the end. But it's, I think that's interesting because when I did this show Talking Cock all around Europe, it got sort of sold all around Europe, including Denmark and Norway. I went to the big celebrity in Oslo in Norway. They had a big celebrity thing of the first night of it. It was this big Norwegian actor who was doing the show. In all in Norwegian, but like it's really weird when you go to another country and you see famous people and you just go, that's just a bloke.
Yeah,
that's just an old bloke in moccasins. What's he? Why is he famous? And so the whole kind of thing of fame falls away because you sort of realise that that's also true of our famous people. They're just some people.
Do
you know what
remembering.
I mean? When you don't recognise them, never go, yeah, that's not, why are you excited about them? It's
do
just
you
the
remember?
Norwegian bloke.
Did you MC the Leicester Square New Comedian like 3 years ago?
Yes, I did. Is that where you recognised me from?
I'm just remembering something because I remember thinking that I fucked up because I asked you how long you'd been gigging because I didn't know you were the MC.
Okay.
I remember the others being like, he's fucking famous. I was like, oh no, I fucked up. I just remember because that was like there in that hallway when we met.
We
and
did.
I was like,
yeah.
So
well,
are you nervous?
I'd forgotten that you did that. And now I remember that I was very insulted by that girl. But no, to be honest, I wasn't that surprised.
I just remembered that.
Oh, that's nice. Do you want to apologise to me now for...
No, that's not it. It's more... It was just, look at us now.
Yeah. Did you win the new act?
No, I came third.
Did you come third?
Yeah. And I was so drunk. I think I hugged you.
Did he?
Yeah, it was. You weren't meant to.
I was
hug.
Drunk, I think, that night as well.
Did we?
Yeah, I think you might. My daughter might be your daughter now, I think. I wonder why my wife was so odd about it when it turned up.
I don't know. When I met you, you brought your wife to my show and I hugged her because I felt like I knew her. Then as I was hugging her, I realised we've never met. I was like, oh no.
That's nice. It's all right. It's continental. That's the kind of thing we're stamping out here in the UK. There'll be no affection between people in the new United Kingdom of England.
I just remembered that. Oh, sorry about that.
That's okay. Well done for coming third.
Thank you.
You would have come first, but when they were doing the voting, I said, don't put her in. She had no idea. Do you know who I am? I was on TV when you were 6 years old in a different country, so I am quite offended. Well, look, we've had a lovely time. Now I'm very upset that I've been reminded of my lack of fame in Denmark. And even though I know all about you...
Did you say you'd done a show in Denmark?
Did I say what?
Did you say you'd done Talking Cock in Denmark?
I think we did that in our last conversation, maybe. Oh. Because Gordon Kennedy did it, but not our Gordon Kennedy, a different Gordon
Kennedy. Oh, my Gordon Kennedy.
Yeah, yours.
Do you have one as well? Did I say that in the other one?
No, you didn't. We got a proper one from Scotland. And yours is just a Danish man pretending to be Scottish. I think he has some Scottish ancestry. Gordon Kennedy is the most Scottish name you can get. How can he walk in around in Denmark?
Pretending to be.
Hello, I'm Danish. I'm called Gordon Kennedy. Fuck off back to Scotland, mate. Where you belong. Gordon Kennedy's an absolutely... And you can choose your friends as well. He was in my last thing I got on TV in 2000.
So he did your show. I don't understand.
Your Gordon Kennedy did Talking Cock in Danish in Copenhagen.
Oh, I remember you told me
in
that.
In wonderful, wonderful Copenhagen. If I lived in Copenhagen, if I even went there, I would sing that all the time. Do you not find yourself singing that all the time?
Well, we don't.
Wonderful, wonderful.
We do it, but there's an island called Bornholm, and we do it when we go there.
Okay.
But there's no adjective. It's just Bornholm, Bornholm, Bornholm. It's the place I'm at right now.
Did you see David Cameron? This is, won't mean anything to the people at home. Today, David Cameron, when he resigned, he resigned today, basically said he's giving up in a couple of days. And he said, that's it, thank you very much, it's good, I'm going. And then he walked back into the 10 Downing Street, and when he got to the door, he was still had his mic on, he went... And, ah, good. And I wondered if he was, like, in his head, he's thinking, this will probably be in the headlines of the news. And when they'll show me going that, I'm going, do-do-do-do-do. And he was doing the music. Oh, good, that'll be in there. That man was in charge of our country, do you remember? It was kind of his fault that all this stuff happened. What a prick.
It's quite interesting, like, your whole political situation. Because when you're in Denmark, you're like, ah, it's a fucked country, and the political stuff is so strange and weird. It's so embarrassing. And then you go to here, you're like, oh, wait, I think it's just politics. Like, internationally. No,
this is the worst. This is really the worst thing. Like, since, you know, I'm not going to include Nazi Germany, but since then, Nazi Germany was a little worse than this so far. I'll ask you an emergency question, and then we'll let people go, and we'll find out. I mean, if that guy has died, we can do without him. If Andy McH died, I'd say it's pretty sad. God, that is sad. For my bank balance, mainly. He's even got a Virgilio Anderson T-shirt. That's how. Yeah, remember that? Yeah. One purse. I'll ask you one last final question. If you could jump into a pool of something, Sophie Hagen, but anything you wanted, what would be in the pool you jumped into?
For how long would I be in it?
You'd jump in and then you could get out straight away if you wanted, or stay and wallow in whatever you had chosen to put in it.
For how long?
It would be your choice.
And
once you're in, it's your choice. Stay in as long as you like.
Are there other people around?
No.
No?
No, because they don't want to jump into a pool of whatever you want to jump into.
So,
unless it's a pool of water, which would be a weak answer to anything.
Okay, so I can't be like realistic and just be like, I'd like a week with my own private pool.
Yeah, you can have that. Yeah,
just water.
You can.
No people.
Oh.
Okay. Could I take stuff from the pool with me up?
I think if it's anything that's stuck to you, you could keep. So if you jumped into a ungulate of some kind.
Slightly sticky 50-pound notes. And I'd be really sweaty.
Yeah, I think you'd be allowed to take an armful, I think, of that.
Yeah, and then just squeeze. You couldn't see.
Would you be concerned that by... I mean, I suppose it's what height you jump into it from. Wouldn't you be concerned you might hit the bottom and die?
Can I just roll into it?
You can roll.
I have to jump.
You have to jump to get this 50-pound notes worth of stuff. One last question. Should penis transplants be allowed?
What's that, like, where you make them...
Where someone loses their penis. You know, that's the way it's useful currently. Someone loses their penis, and then they get someone else's penis.
Whose penis?
Well, that's the big question, isn't it? And that's where the ethical lines start to grow, because what if they I fancy Richard Herring's penis?
No one's going to specifically ask.
They are. They might have heard about it.
If they've heard about it, they're not going to want
they
it.
They are.
But the thing is, if someone loses their penis, it's probably a reason, and that person probably doesn't deserve a new one.
Wow, that's very harsh on
that's
on people
like
with
two feminists. Woo, and the rest of your
very
life.
Harsh on people with cancer of the penis. There,
is that a thing?
I would say so. That's the you've upset the Roman Catholics. people at home. It's very upsetting for, and also you've up, the people lose their penis in botched circumcisions. So you've been very offensive at the NP. I don't hope Prince Andrew isn't listening to this. He'll be furious when he hears about this.
As long as you really need it.
Yeah.
And you can't be picky.
Well, that's the interesting thing, you know.
Yeah, you can't. You just have to take
whatever is given to you.
Because that's what you do from birth. Right? You can't be like, oh, a new one.
Well, yeah, if you get the choice, if someone says, we're going to give you another one, yeah, I would go, well, okay, no, I'm going to have a little think about this one.
No, you can't. Because you just take the penis.
Bring me a tray with all the available penises that are a match for my tissue type, and I will pick one out.
No, that's not...
And pump them up so they're erect, so I can see.
No, because then people could lie. Then people could be like, I just lost them.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's what everyone goes, it's a good idea. What if rich people start hunting beautiful penis men down, like in a jungle?
And it all comes back to you.
It does. That's what I'm worried about.
That's why my rule is better, where you don't get two people. You just get the one you're...
Yeah, that seems harsh.
No, I don't think so.
What if it's an animal penis?
Yeah. Then what? That's what you want, though. You want one of those that like have this little thing that blows up so you can't. Is that dogs? Don't look at me. You know exactly. You've done shows about it. You know exactly what I mean. There's animals where it, like the tip of it becomes like a little ball or something, and then she can't pull away.
Oh yeah.
Can't pull away. Why are you? This is the thing. You're looking at me the way I look at you when you talked about the royal family.
This is how it works in Denmark.
And a dog's not. They're not animals. Don't look at me like he looks at me, you fucking followers.
It was when you went to she Google rather it. Than it. That Google is. All right, I'll just Google dog's penis. I can't imagine that. I can't imagine that having an impact on my.
Put balloon.
Dog's penis. You know, that has never come up in that sort of, you know, they suggest things, that's not suggesting anything, that's just one. Let's have a look. My dog's penis is swollen up like a balloon and will not go back.
Exactly.
Out of my vagina. My dog's penis keeps swelling up like a balloon. Why is my dog's penis out and inflated like a balloon? My dog's penis is swollen like a balloon and got stuck outside of my male dog penis. Like my male dog penis is swollen at the tip like a balloon. I've got to read this one. We might be here for some time if you don't want to hear it. This is Yahoo Answers. My male dog penis is swollen at the tip like a balloon. He seems to be in pain. What should I do? ... My dog is not fixed and is about 1.5 years old. Then there's an advert for coffee tables. This may be a bit explicit, but the dog may just, well, have pleasured himself. After completion of the mating act, the dog's penis will become quite swollen. There'll be a knob at the base where the penis leaves the sheath. Some people are getting off at this at home. That's why. The rest will be very red, and the veins quite prominent. Some dogs get a bubble-like swelling at the top.
Did I not just win this?
I don't think you should be proud of knowing what happens when a dog gets an erection.
That's common knowledge. That's common
knowledge amongst people who had sex with dogs, like Sophie.
Or who have just done the research.
Yeah. Many people.
Everyone knows that, right?
I feel if there are any people listening who have this problem, try putting a cool cloth on it to reduce smelling.
Well, that would work, wouldn't it?
Yeah. That'd be fun, wouldn't it, to get your... Here's a cool cloth around your penis. I think the dog will get more excited by that. I know I would.
Just tell
my owner would to do that to me.
Tell the dog about your mother and it'll lose the balloon.
Well, that was an unexpected end, and I don't think we should, literally in every sense, we've swollen up like a balloon.
I thought everyone knew that.
Yeah. You've embarrassed yourself in so many ways on this podcast.
I feel it now. Can we cut out the whole bit?
Yeah, we probably can.
Like the whole podcast.
Yeah, we'll send you that one with all the bits cut out. We're just going to put out the bits that have to be cut out. That's what we're going to do. So it's been lovely to talk to you again.
Thank you.
What's your new show in Edinburgh called this year?
It's called Shimmer Shatter.
Okay. Edinburgh's probably finished by the time this goes
out.
Yeah,
but I'm touring it.
Are you?
Yeah.
Everywhere?
Everywhere.
Cool. Shimmer Shatter.
It's my fancy.
Yeah, it's good.
And what's Shimmer that? Shatter.
And what's that? What's that about?
The show?
Yeah.
It's about how I don't know how to function as a human being. Which I feel has come across. I feel like I've advertised the show quite well.
I think this is mainly my fault.
My basic personality.
I think what's happened tonight is I will take the responsibility for
really?
It.
Really?
Yeah.
That's so kind of you.
Because it's been beautiful. It's been a wonderful experience. You're a fantastic comedian. Everyone must go and see you. Thank you very much for coming in. It's Sophie Hagar, ladies and gentlemen. Sophie Hagar. You have been listening to Richard Herring's Leicester Square Theatre Podcast with me, Richard Herring, and my guest, Sophie Hagar. The music is by Pest. Thank you to everyone at Go Faster Strike, to everyone at the Leicester Square Theatre, to everyone at the British Comedy Guide, to everyone at iTunes. Thank you to everyone who's listening. Thanks to you if you've told your friends about this podcast. Thank you if you are one of those friends who has listened. Why not tell your friends about it? The producer is Ben Walker. It's a Fuzz, Go Faster Stripe, and Sky Potato production.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to Quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Thanks for listening. RichardHerring.com/gigs. GoFasterStripe.com for all my books, downloads, all that sort of shizzle. Oh, yeah, I know all the cool words. And would love to see you on the Can I Have My Ball Back tour if you can make it. Bye.